welcome you back into another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven, more regular time slot after our special this week on Wednesday, and we hope you enjoyed having us in the middle of your week, but here we are back on Sunday. I'm Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat at C70, and Tara Wellman at Tara Wellman and Bird Seeds and Bird Tales. Tara, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show started, just how frustrating, and we've talked it all year about how frustrating this team is, but it would kind of make us feel better if they would just pick a direction. Either be good or be bad, but they keep sitting in this floating zone where we write them off, then they win some games, and they come in and they win against the Cubs on Friday, and they come within 3.5 of first place. And then, you know, yesterday they're up 2-0 in the 8th inning, and then it just all goes to pot. Or you'll be bad enough to start selling. We just can't seem to. They just want to be just frustrating enough to not pick one.
Yeah, I mean, you look at whether it's the series with the Pirates just off after the All-Star break, or even the series with the Cubs. Both of those three game sets could very easily have been sweeps for the Cardinals, and in some estimation, they should have been. At least in this last series with the Cubs, depending on how this one ends up tonight, which doesn't look promising at the moment, they should have at least won 2 of 3. So you look at this team and you think that's what they're capable of, and then you go out and watch them lose 2 or 3 series in a row and think, well, okay, maybe they're really not. They could very easily then go out and sweep a team in the division, and suddenly you feel maybe not all hope is lost. But at the same time, you know, when things start to look better for a week or two, then you think, okay, now what do we do? Because they're not really dramatically better than they were 2 weeks ago. So do we invest in this team, or do we kind of pull the plug and plan for next year? And I think the frustration, other than just watching the bad baseball when they're bad, is that there's not an obvious answer to that because of how weak the division has been. Now, if the Cubs win tonight, will be a tie for first place in the division. And if they were to go on a tear and suddenly the Cardinals were 7, 8, 9, 10 games back, that would make the decision a lot easier because the division would be such a tight race at this point. But you're right. It's almost more frustrating because they won't just pick something.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, even if they wouldn't pick something, it'd be kind of nice if the division picked it for them.
Right.
You know, the Brewers have come around and just piddled since the All-Star break on 3-7. So even when the Cardinals have gone 5-5 in their last 10, they've gained a little ground, which, you know, for a team that, you know, assuming they lose tonight, which, again, fair assumption, will be 4 games under 500. They'll still only be 4.5 games behind both the Cubs and the Brewers. And again, you've proven, I think all year long, that this team is not that much different than the Cubs. I mean, they played the Cubs well, let's put it that way. You can argue that the Cubs have not played to their full potential, which is fine, but you could also argue that, you know, it's in July. You know, teams are what they are. While the Cubs could put together this massive run, we've been saying that since May. So we don't know that's going to happen. So it's hard, again, to sell when you know you're just as good, or you feel like you're just as good as teams that you're close to. And in a division that is one of the few that's still competitive, you know, how do you sell to a fan base? And I think the Cardinal fan base would be smart enough to understand this. But I also think, as a whole, but it is a marketing problem, and it is a problem if you want people to show up for the next 2 months when you start selling pieces and saying, we're done for this year.
Yeah.
You know, that being said, even if you don't, I don't know if people are going to show up for the next 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, Cardinals fans want to see good baseball, and if they're not getting good baseball, the frustration is certainly mounting, and I think some level of clear communication from the front office about what the plan is would alleviate a little bit of the frustration for a number of fans who feel like if they know that there's a plan as far as getting better or making improvements, that the next 2 months, you know, you just bring a bunch of the kids up and let them play and see what happens. I think there's an element of excitement there for real diehard baseball fans, just like there would be if they decided to make a big run at something before the trade deadline. But you're right. The team has to decide. John Mozeliak, Mike Gersh have to decide what the rest of this season is. And it's hard to pull the plug when you're so close to being in the mix. But if you're gonna buy into the tightness of the division and the fact that there's still a chance, I almost feel like then you have to make some sort of move. Because just sort of floundering around trying to make your way back to the 500 mark and hoping that the rest of the division doesn't improve around you, is really no better than selling off some pieces and planning for next year anyway. So I guess some of the decision that needs to be made is really from the front office, regardless of what happens in this series or what happens in the next series. It's got to be about whether or not they believe this team has a shot at winning the division. And if they do, then they need to start fixing some of the problems. I mean, when you look at the way that the Cardinals lost yesterday, when you look at the way that they lost two of the three games against Pittsburgh, when you look at the number of times this season, I think it's 20 losses now on the season belong to the bullpen. You gotta make a change there. You can't just keep running the same guys out there and saying you're trying to make a run for the division, but leaving the guys in the bullpen out to dry because there's nobody that can get through the ninth inning. So I think part of the problem with the fan base is that lack of clarity in the vision from the front office. Not that they necessarily owe that full explanation to the fan base, but it does make it a little bit harder to swallow when you see the way that things continue to just kind of go in circles for this team at this point.
Yeah, and unfortunately no eighth inning magic today to solve this problem. Cardinals will go to the bottom of the eighth, still trailing 5-3. One person that is getting a little bit of clarity, what clarity there is, and there's not much of it, is Lance Lynn. As John Mozeliak spoke with Lynn earlier this week, or this weekend, while they were at Wrigley, talking about where things stand with him. You know, I guess there's some ideas, you know, obviously there's some talk about him being traded. All Mo would say is the situation is fluid, which is a good Mo term, I guess. It seems to me Lance Lynn just needs to be traded. I don't say that because of anything he has done, but just the situation that he's in and the fact that the Cardinals do have other pitchers. You know, I think we've talked about this. It just feels like this is a chance for them to, you know, to work for next year without sacrificing entirely this year. And yet, that being said, I mean, there's obviously strong value in having a Lance Lynn in a race that's very close. I mean, you know, the difference between him and Luke Weaver may not be big, but it may be enough in a tight race to keep the Cardinals home. How much is that going to play into it? I mean, is that what the situation? I mean, the Cardinals even, in theory, leaving the idea of having an extension for him open, but it feels like it's a stay or it's a lose him now or lose him later situation.
Yeah, and I think for me, this is what I'm talking about as far as pick one. You know, it's fine to say that the situation is fluid because you don't want to show your hand to the rest of baseball, and I get that. But at the same time, it's very clear what your options are. I don't think there's any reason to try to beat around the bush and make excuses or talk about all the things that are still on the table. It's very obvious what the choices are with Lance Lynn. It seems very obvious that Lance Lynn is getting frustrated with if nothing else, being asked about it and having nothing to say in response, because the communication isn't there on that end either. So I am almost more frustrated by hearing the situation is fluid comment than I would be to say for him to have said almost anything else. I don't know. I guess that to me is just a very easy way to say, we're not making a decision. Our decision is that we're not making a decision. When it seems that the way the game works, the way that the season is playing out, the options that they have in front of them have made very clear what their choices are. I don't know what's fluid about that. I mean, say that you haven't decided, that's fine, but it's not fluid. There are only so many choices, so just pick one. And I think that's sort of where a lot of fans are, and to some degree, I get the feeling that's sort of where Lance Lynn is. I mean, he's made very clear that he would love to stay in St. Louis. He's also made very clear that he wants to get paid, as anyone does. But at this point, it just feels like they're dragging out the inevitable for no good reason. And that gets frustrating for the fans watching it and for the players themselves.
So when Lance Lynn gets traded tomorrow, we'll know that Mo's going to Tara.
Just pick one, Mo. Just pick one.
He reached in the hat, took a couple of the offers, and said, this is what we're going with. I think there's, there is that. I mean, it just, and again, as we said, it would be a lot easier to do this if you were 7 or 8 games out, but this team's this team, for wherever they're at. And it's very, very hard to believe that even if this team somehow managed to, one, get over 500 for the first time in 2 months, and, two, somehow made a run at the division, that they would do anything but, fall out of the playoffs after the first 3 games. I mean, you look at the Dodgers, you look at the Astros, you look at the Nationals, you look at the teams that are going to be in October, and then you look at the NL Central, and there's a very big disparity. Great. Strange things happen. Baseball. But, I mean, is that what you want to, mortgage your future on? Is that what you want to base your whole game plan on, is the postseason being this crapshoot? I don't know. Now, we did see the Cardinals make a deal this week on Friday, as they did a whole lot of shuffling around. They brought up Carson Kelly, which we talked about on Wednesday, and they did it on Friday. Very nice of them. We also saw the return of Randall Grichuk, who, if he is being showcased for a trade or something of that nature, did not hurt his case at all this weekend.
Doing a terrific job of it.
hitting a home run at each of the games in Wrigley this past weekend. And also Zach Duke, who is now, I don't know if he's the fastest person to return from Tommy John surgery, but he's got to be really close. It helps to be a reliever versus a starter, and so far has looked all right. But they also traded Marco Gonzalez to Seattle for Tyler O'Neill, and a minor league outfielder with significant power. There's been some comparisons to Grichuk. There's been some comparisons to Harrison Bader. There's been a number of things out there. It's just a little strange because Cardinals have minor league outfielders ready for the majors that are stacked 15 feet high in the back closet. All they have to do is go and pick one. So to add to that mix makes you wonder if they are trying to put some sort of package together. But Tara, as we were saying, I don't know what that package is, because it doesn't seem like that big bat everybody's talked about is really going to come here at the trade deadline.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, just today even, there was more confirmation out of Miami that they're not really planning on moving anyone until the new ownership is in place, which makes sense. You'd like to believe that they would take that into account as far as making sure that the business side of the team is in place, and that the new owners could come in and make some of those decisions, especially regarding someone like Stanton, who's been the face of that organization. I mean, if I was coming in and putting that sort of money and that sort of investment into an organization, I'd certainly want to have some say in what happens with one of the best players in the game. So I think that kind of cleared up a little bit of the potential drama, I guess mostly for the fan base, as far as whether or not the Cardinals were going to go out and trade for Stanton. But it is interesting seeing them bring in O'Neill, a guy that comes very highly regarded from all of the people that I've talked to who've seen him in the minor leagues. And I think that, I guess there's part of me that wants to believe this is part of a long-term plan as far as the major league pieces they're going to be willing to move in a trade in order to clear up a bit of the logjam in the outfield and maybe some of that addition by subtraction that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, just making, solidifying some of the roles and the positions at the major league level. I would like to believe that that's the case. I think that more often than not, I find myself a little bit confused with what the game plan long-term really is, because we've often seen them create this sort of logjam, the sort of just inability to have enough spots on the field for all the talent they have at the minor league level that then isn't really clarified, isn't really cleared up. We've talked about that for a number of seasons, and whether it's pitching or whether it's outfielders. I mean, when the Cardinals brought Peter Borges in, we were talking about it then, about the fact that there were too many outfielders for not enough spots on the roster. So this is not a new issue. So I guess my hesitation to believe this is part of some grander plan is based on the last couple of seasons and how we've seen them sort of create this backlog and not do a whole lot to clear it up by going out and making that big trade. So regardless, Tyler O'Neill seems like a great pickup. It seems like a good, solid trade for the Cardinals. I don't think Marco Gonzalez really had a place at the major league level, certainly not in a starting capacity this year. And with guys like Weaver and Flaherty coming up as well, seemed like he may have been out of a job at that point in the next couple of years anyway. So trading from that surplus, like we talked about last week, makes a lot of sense. Trading for something that you have a surplus of, I'm not sure where that fits in, but hopefully, like I said, it is part of a bigger plan, and we see that movement happen, whether it's now or even in the offseason, once some of these guys become available, particularly in Miami.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It feels like John Mozeliak has this collector's mentality that he has to get all of these players and then doesn't want to let go of them. We talked about it, you know, in the offseason with Matt Adams, this idea that there was no place for a guy like Matt Adams to play, and then it, you know, turned out, hey, there was no place for Matt Adams to play. And so they finally traded him for probably less than they probably could have if they had dealt him, you know, last year or over the winter, you know, and then, you know, there's a chance that Atlanta's going to turn around and flip him for even more. Now, maybe not. Atlanta keeps talking like they're going to keep him, and in the heck, they moved Freddie Freeman for him, so I don't know. But
Who knew Matt Adams had that kind of value?
Yeah, obviously not here. I don't know, but it just feels like, they've got to, you know, and again, they're really getting to someplace. I mean, I counted up, you know, 7 outfielders, not counting Randall Grichuk and not counting Jose Martinez, who are guys that maybe a little bit less so than Grichuk. I mean, Jose Martinez, you can waive next year with no problem. I mean, it's no big deal. And in theory, you could do that with Grichuk too, although there's still some value there, obviously, as we've seen this weekend. But other than that, they have like 7 guys that could be Major League Baseball outfielders next year.
Yeah.
Last I checked, you only play 3, you know, and having one or maybe 2 as a backup. But, you know, these guys are going to have to play. And it doesn't feel like all of them can play in St. Louis. And I know as soon as you trade some, somebody gets hurt and you wish you'd had some back. But still, you got to do something. We've said this for 2 or 3 years now. But the more that they don't do something makes it more imperative that they do something now.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes it more frustrating as well, is that it seems quite obvious what the needs are or what the what the plan should be. But there's a very clear difference in the vision from seemingly everyone else and the guys in the office that actually matters. So it's hard to really buy into this master plan when we've seen this same sort of mentality create the roster limitations that we're seeing now.
Cardinals have a big week coming up. Rockies and Diamondbacks, you know, a couple of teams that are much better than anybody in the division. Again, it just feels like, as we can talk about, it would be nice if the Cardinals had fortified their defenses, as it were, before they run into a Chicago team, but also these other good teams that are coming up, but that just doesn't seem to be happening. If they could do one thing, and again, like I said, within reason, it doesn't feel like Stan's coming or whatever, I mean, what would the one thing that would help this team the most be, do you think, right now?
How to find a guy that can pitch in the ninth inning. you know, if that's Trevor Rosenthal, then that's fine, but then you need someone who can pitch the eighth inning. And at this point, there's not a guy out there that I feel particularly comfortable with in a one-run game, or a two-run game for that matter. So they've got to find a way, if they were to make one move, to make kind of one last-ditch effort for this season, they've got to figure out the bullpen. 20 losses on the year that are directly because of the bullpen. I mean, that's entirely too many. You give them 5 of those wins back, and they're leading the division. I mean, that's how close we're talking. We're not even talking about half. You give them 5 of those wins back, and they're leading the division. So, if there was one thing that they could do to kind of not go all in on this season, but try to make themselves a bit more competitive, knowing that they're right on the brink. As far as I'm concerned, that's where it needs to be first.
Yeah, and this is the lack of trust in the bullpen is really starting to show the cracks, or show some effects, I guess is a better word, in how the starting pitching is used.
Yeah,
we saw Adam Wainwright, who was let's not, you know, mince words, he was dealing
right.
for 7 innings yesterday, but he also got, you know, in the 100 something pitch mark. And so as soon as the Cardinals get the 2-run lead, I can see Adam Wainwright staying out there for a little bit. But it felt like Matheny may have left him out there a little bit too long. Now, let's also be fair. The guys that came in after Adam Wainwright, in some degree, did their job. Nobody got hit hard. It was the little bloops and the, you know, guys being way deep for a guy like, you know, what Rizzo was it, I think? That was, you know, they're playing deep because the guy can hit the ball anywhere. And he breaks his bat and drops it in front of him. I mean, some of that's going to happen, but you wonder how much different it would have been if they had started the eighth with a, you know, with a Trevor Rosenthal and had the ninth for a Sung 1-0 that we saw last year. If both of those guys are going, I don't think you let Adam Wainwright stay out there. And that game is completely different, probably. So, but you're right. There's nobody out there. I mean, even Rosenthal, who came in for some criticism this week on Thursday after, you know, forgetting some basic running abilities, is not perfect. And not, I mean, obviously nobody's going to be perfect, and some people are going to fail, but it's just still more, it's more inconsistent than you would like, even out of Rosenthal, who, you know, blew that game, not only for not covering first, but, you know, putting, you know, 2 runners on before that, too. It's dicey, and I think you're right. They have to do something that will give them that big weapon at the end of the game, because they've got guys that can pitch the 6th. They got guys that can pitch the 7th. You know, Kevin Seacrest has looked much better since he came back up. You know, Duke has looked fine. These are guys that can go in short bursts of an inning or even a batter or two. But that ninth inning is something different. You know, and it just seems like no matter who they put out there, it's not going to work. So go get a guy that it'll work for.
Yeah, that would be my move if I was in in Mo's office. But you know, otherwise we'll just talk about it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or here.
Yeah, that's true. And it does feel like, as the Cardinals finish up losing here tonight to the Cubs, it does feel like that the Cardinals are going to get stuck in that spot where they can't, and I say can't, but really can't make a move. Like we said, the big bat is not out there, unless for some reason Baltimore all of a sudden lets Manny Machado be on the market. It just doesn't feel like there's that defining bat that the Cardinals are looking for, and that they may, and hopefully will, go out and get this offseason, but not going to be able to get it now. You know, again, so if you go out and get, even if you go get a veteran guy, because you're probably not getting a top closer for that ninth inning, but even if you go out and get a veteran guy, you know, a lot of fans just write that off as, you know, oh, it's one of John Mozeliak's special, you know, go get a bullpen arms. And sometimes that's what you need, but it still feels like right now this fan base especially wants dramatic change, and that, I think that's fair with a team that's struggling so bad.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, we didn't even really approach this, and it's probably a deeper conversation than we have time for yet tonight, but I think you see a little bit of that in Mozeliak's comments this week about the attitude and the culture needing to be changed. I don't remember a time in recent Cardinals history where that has been the criticism. I mean, there have been times where we saw them bring in AJ Pierzynski because they needed an edge. Okay, that sort of thing is going on. But when you're talking about needing to change the culture, I mean, that's a pretty significant comment to come from someone in John Mozeliak's position. That doesn't happen with a closer. So you go out and get a closer and let this season be what it is, and then try to make some of those deeper changes next year. That's fine. But I think that he has to know, and the organization has to know, that you come out and make a comment like that, and the fan base that's watching this happen is going to latch on to that, because that's what we've been seeing over the course of the last couple of years. And to hear that it's being acknowledged from the front office, I think really establishes how far they've fallen and how far they need to go, and how much more work needs to be done than just picking up a big bat or just getting a closer. And that's why I think in some respects, I understand John Mozeliak not really going out and making a big move at this point, because to some degree you feel like, well, what's the point? We're going to bring him into a situation where the attitude and the culture isn't what it needs to be a winning team. That's probably not going to help your case either. So as much as I would love to see them go out and make a move, I think that it became very obvious this week that there's a lot more work that needs to be done, likely over the course of the offseason, than just bringing in some different players.
Yeah, it really feels like this offseason is going to be that overhaul that we'd like to see now, but is just so difficult to do in season. And part of that overhaul, like I said, when Mozeliak could come out and make some very biting comments about the culture and attitudes of the organization or the players in the clubhouse, you know, that's, you hate to, I mean, I don't. Some people don't hate to say it, let's put it that way, but it really falls back on the guy that they hired to be the leader, and that is why they hired Mike Matheny. That's what we've said the past 6 years. You know, Mike Matheny was going to grow into the tactics, but he could be a leader. He could be a guy that, you know, nurtured these players, and if that's, you know, if he's not the one in charge of the culture and attitude of the clubhouse, then who is?
Yeah, it was interesting seeing John Mozeliak work really hard to point the fingers at the players, and in a lot of respects defend his manager more than I've seen him do in the past. And I think, a little teaser for you, I think this is going to be the dominant subject matter of my Bird Seeds episode coming out tomorrow, because the more I think about this, the more I think it's at the very core of what so many of the problems are with this team right now. But I think that for Mo to go so far out of his way to say, now I know what you're thinking, but the players are the ones that have to hold themselves accountable for this. I don't buy that. Mm-hmm. quite I don't buy that. I think that you have a manager in the clubhouse who's, let's be quite honest, he's not managing little league players. They don't need him to tell them how the game works. They've been playing this game their entire lives. He's not there to tell them how baseball works. He's there to put them in a position to win. And if that means creating a culture in the clubhouse where guys are comfortable but at the same time competitive, then that's his job. It's not just deciding when to use a double switch. It's not just deciding which wrong move to make out of the bullpen. You can defend that all you want. You can say that the players have to take responsibility all you want. And as far as their execution on the field, I absolutely 100% agree with that. But the attitude and the culture in the clubhouse and within the organization is you cannot ignore the impact that the manager should have on that. If you want to tell me that Joe Maddon doesn't directly impact what the culture of the Chicago Cubs has become, because I promise you that's not the case. So I think that as powerful as it was to hear John Mozeliak say that this week, I still think there's a disconnect in why they think it's a problem. And that's what concerns me as they try to make some of these moves to improve that. It made it very clear that I think they thought bringing Dexter Fowler in from the Cubs was going to be the cure-all for the attitude of the organization. And that's quite simply not the case.
Yeah, I mean, if the manager is not in charge of the clubhouse and the attitude and everything like that, then why did you hire Mike Matheny?
Right.
Because you don't need a manager for that. I mean, if it's all on the players, then you hire a manager that can, you know, outthink the other side.
Right.
You don't hire a guy that's learning tactics because he can, you know, manage people. Yeah, I'm sorry, I almost laughed, well, I probably did, while you were saying that he doesn't need to teach them how things are going, but then again, we've seen them run the bases and field the ball, so maybe you don't need him to teach them,
right?
Maybe
right.
They need somebody else to.
The Memphis Redbirds are 30 games over 500, so maybe there's some teaching going on elsewhere that should be applied at the major league level.
I mean, it's difficult. I know what you're saying, and I agree with it to some degree, because I think about all these people that, you know, went to Memphis. We've seen Colton Wong go to Memphis. We've seen Randall Grichuk go to Memphis. We've seen not as much Alamedes Diaz, although he's kind of turning it around a little bit of late down there. And you've got a team, like you said, 30 games over 500. A team that's just, you know, dominating their league. Again, you're playing different leagues, you've got different talent levels, whatever, but what does that team have that the major league team doesn't have? I think even Springfield's had, you know, a little bit better year than that. You know, these are not necessarily, and again, we're not talking about the fact that there's a whole crop of superstars coming up, they just haven't made the big leagues. These are the same type of players that we're seeing, but they're having an effect, they're having that impact in Memphis that they're not really having in St. Louis. So is it managing? Is it culture? And what do you do about it? So I don't know. I do feel like all the comments from John Mozeliak, there has to be significant changes between now and spring training of next year. Because like a number of people have said, how do you sell tickets to 2018 if you're just running the same warmed over stuff that you've served the last two seasons? I don't think you can do that. And we know how much those attendance figures mean to the ownership.
Yeah, I mean, and when you come out directly from the top and make those sorts of criticisms, you can't fault the fan base for saying, well, if that's the case, then I'm not going to invest myself in a team that is aware of the problem but not fixing it. Mm-hmm. So if they continue to just try to make these little adjustments and little changes, again, I don't think that's going to happen in the remainder of this year, not anything significant. But if they go into spring training with essentially the same staff, the same roster, the same approach as they had this year, I think fans are going to start bailing pretty quickly, because it's one thing to not know what to fix. But when you identify the problem and then just choose not to fix it, that's a whole different issue, I think.
Yeah, I mean, ownership a few years ago seemed to base a lot of their projections and numbers and budget on 3 million fans. Well, that's grown to now where they really budget off 3.4 million, which is around where the Cardinals are at, or a little bit of, you know, they might reach a little bit above that. But that's not going to happen next year. I mean, we saw it at the end of last season where they snapped their sellout streak, or their less than 40,000 people showed up at the ballpark a couple of times in September. That's going to happen more this year. You know, after the trade deadline, assuming that no big name or big bat is brought in, you know, I'm not going to fault John Mozeliak and Mike Gersh too much for deals they can't make at the deadline, or things that don't happen at the deadline, because I just don't know how much is out there for them. But some fans are going to. And so there's going to be a lot less people showing up in Busch Stadium over the last couple of months. So they have to really take a wrecking ball to this. Because we've seen this happened before with the Phillies. I mean, the Phillies went from World Series champions to dead last in their division, basically one step at a time over, you know, 7 years or whatever. The Cardinals don't want to get that far down. But if it wasn't for the Reds this year, they just about would. So it's going to have to be some significant changes. I just don't think they're coming this week.
Yeah, I don't think they have enough going on in order to be able to make those changes. And as you said, I don't know that the guy they really want is available right now. So if that's the case, and they don't make a move, it maybe allows us to continue to hold on to the hope of Giancarlo Stanton in a Cardinals uniform in 2018. But who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, we will. All right. Well, again, this could be a busy week. John Mozeliak said this weekend he expected activity around the deadline. That being said, we know what deadline promises have been worth in the past. So, you know, I don't. John's version of activity is sending Charlie Tilson for Zach Duke. So it may not be exactly what we as fans want. But no matter what happens this week, Tara and I will be back with you next week to talk about it. And then probably gnash teeth a little bit more, just because what we do these days, it seems like.
Because what else is there to do?
So for Tara, who will be putting out bird seeds tomorrow, so be checking for that. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.